Okay, so get that we're gonna dive into something ancient, but also like having this whole resurgence
yeah,
of chakras.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
You sent over Exploring Chakras, a holistic guide to energy healing by Orion Windsor.
Right.
And honestly, this book is so much more than just like incense and good vibes, you know?
It really is. And you know what's so interesting about it is how it dives into this whole history.
Okay.
Tracing the concept of chakras back thousands of years, like all the way back to the Vedas.
Wow.
It's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it. This ancient wisdom explored in like Tantra and yoga,
right,
even found its way into Buddhism and Jainism.
It really makes you wonder, what is it about this whole idea of energy centers that's just resonated with so many different cultures across like all of time? And more importantly, what can it actually offer us today, you know, in our modern lives?
That's the key question, right? Because it's one thing to talk about these intertexts.
Yeah.
But this book's not just some theoretical thing.
Right.
It really gets into how understanding these energy centers, these spinning wheels of energy, these chakras, can actually impact everything from our physical health to like our emotional well-being.
Okay, see, now you're speaking my language because you know I'm all about that practical application.
Absolutely.
But before we get ahead of ourselves,
okay,
let's break it down.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the book starts with the basics, explaining that the word chakra actually means wheel or disc.
Okay.
In Sanskrit.
Sanskrit, got it.
And these chakras are positioned along your spine, kind of like a ladder, with each one governing these different aspects of your physical, your emotional, and even your spiritual self.
And they're all interconnected, which is a key takeaway here.
Oh, okay.
Like if you think of it as a network, so if one chakra is blocked or out of whack, it can totally throw the whole system off balance.
That makes total sense.
Yeah.
So are you ready to climb that chakra ladder?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right, let's start with the root chakra or Muladhara in Sanskrit.
Okay.
This one sits at the base of your spine.
Yeah.
And it's all about feeling grounded, feeling secure, feeling safe.
Right.
Think of it like the foundation of a house, that sense of stability.
Exactly. And the book really connects this to our primal instincts, like our survival mechanisms.
Right.
It's about feeling safe in the world, like you have solid ground to stand on.
That's so true. Because when I think about times where I felt really anxious or insecure, it's like that feeling of the rug being pulled out from under.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
That's the root chakra being thrown off balance.
Yeah. And the book really gets into how a balanced root chakra can not only ease those feelings of anxiety, but also right. potentially boost your immune system and even help with things like lower back pain.
Right.
It's wild how interconnected our physical and energetic bodies really are.
Okay, that's wild. It's like ancient wisdom meets like modern day solutions.
I know, right?
But let's say you're feeling stuck creatively, like you're in a rut.
Okay.
That's where the sacral chakra or Svadhisthana comes into play.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So this one's all about your creative and your sensual energy located in the lower abdomen. And the book talks about how it governs your ability to experience pleasure, joy, emotional balance, and it even touches upon its connection to healthy sexuality and relationships.
Interesting.
I was really interested in how the book approached that aspect because it wasn't just about the physicality of it, but more about that feeling of flow and connection with yourself and others.
I see.
Made me think about how important it is to embrace those things in a healthy way, you know?
Absolutely. And when this chakra is balanced, you feel more in tune with your body, your emotions, more open to creative expression and healthy relationships.
Right.
But when it's blocked, it can lead to feeling kind of emotionally stifled, lacking inspiration, or even experiencing issues in relationships.
Okay, that makes so much sense.
Right.
So we've talked about feeling grounded.
Yeah.
Embracing our creative flow.
Right.
But what about that feeling of like inner power and confidence?
Okay.
That's where the solar plexus chakra or Manipura takes center stage.
Oh, I like this one.
So it's located in your upper abdomen, and it's all about your personal power.
Okay.
Self-esteem and willpower.
Gotcha.
It's like that feeling you get when you crush a presentation or you stand up for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, that inner fire.
That inner fire.
I love it.
The book describes it as this radiant sun within fueling your confidence and your drive, and it connects the chakra to your digestive system as well, which is interesting.
Oh, that's interesting because we all know how stress and anxiety can wreak havoc on your gut.
Exactly. So when your solar plexus chakra is balanced, you not only feel more confident and decisive, but you might even experience better digestion.
It all comes back around.
It really does.
Mm.
Full circle.
And this brings us to the heart chakra, or Anahata, which, as you might guess, is all about love and compassion.
Makes sense, right in the center of the chest.
Okay, to right in the center of the chest where we feel all those warm and fuzzy feelings.
Yes.
But what I found interesting was that the book goes beyond just romantic love with this one.
Oh, tell me more about that.
It delves into the importance of self-love, compassion for others, and even forgiveness.
Okay.
It's about opening your heart to the world and connecting with others on a deeper level.
And isn't that what we all crave, really?
That sense of genuine connection and belonging.
Exactly. And the book suggests that a balanced heart chakra can help us attract and cultivate those meaningful relationships.
Okay, so we've covered feeling grounded.
Yes.
Embracing creativity.
Okay.
Stepping into our power. Opening our hearts. But what about finding our voice?
Ooh, I like that.
You know, that ability to express ourselves authentically and speak our truth.
Yes.
That's where the throat chakra or Vishuddha comes in.
Okay. The throat chakra.
This chakra located in the throat is all about communication, self-expression, and speaking your truth with confidence and clarity.
I like it.
And it's interesting because the book doesn't just talk about speaking up in a literal sense.
Okay.
It also touches on things like creative expression, writing, even listening.
Oh, wow.
It's about clear communication in all its forms.
That's really interesting.
And when this chakra is balanced, we feel heard and understood, and we're able to express ourselves authentically without fear or hesitation.
It's like that feeling of finally being able to articulate something you've been holding inside, whether it's through words or music or art or any other creative outlet.
Exactly.
Powerful.
But when this chakra is blocked, it can lead to feeling unheard, misunderstood, or even experiencing physical symptoms like a sore throat or difficulty speaking up.
Wow. So it can manifest physically too?
It's all connected.
That's wild.
Okay. So we've talked about grounding, creativity, power, love.
Okay.
And even finding our voice.
Right.
But now it's time to tap into something a little more intuitive, a little more mystical. The third eye chakra, or Ajna.
Oh, here we go.
This chakra, located between the eyebrows, is often referred to as our center of intuition, insight, and imagination.
Okay.
It's like that gut feeling you get, that knowing that goes beyond logic or reason.
I feel that.
The book talks about how it's linked to things like dreams, intuition, and even psychic abilities.
Interesting.
And while those aspects might sound a bit out there for some, I think we can all relate to having those moments of sudden insight or just knowing something without being able to explain it rationally.
Totally. It's like that aha moment when the pieces of the puzzle suddenly fall into place.
Exactly.
I love those.
And the book suggests that a balanced third eye chakra can enhance those intuitive abilities, improve mental clarity, and even support neurological health.
Wow. It's amazing how it all ties together.
It really is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're tapping into our intuition.
Yes.
But there's one more chakra to explore, and this one's the highest of them all.
Okay, let's hear it.
The crown chakra, or Sahasrara.
The crown chakra.
This one sits at the crown of your head and is all about connecting to something bigger than yourself, something beyond the physical realm.
I like where this is going.
It's about experiencing a sense of unity.
Okay.
Of oneness with the universe.
Right.
Of tapping into that divine spark within.
Okay, now we're getting deep.
Now we're getting deep, right?
I like it.
It's like going from feeling grounded in your body to experiencing that expansive, interconnected energy of the universe.
Powerful.
And the book talks about how a balanced crown chakra can lead to feelings of bliss, peace, and a sense of profound purpose and meaning in life.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
But I'm curious what happens when the crown chakra is blocked.
That's a good question.
What happens then?
Because that sounds pretty great.
Right.
Yeah.
What happens when things go wrong?
Exactly.
What does the book say?
The book suggests that it can lead to feelings of isolation,
right,
lack of direction, and even spiritual doubt.
Wow. So it's like feeling disconnected from your true self and the world around you.
Exactly. So it sounds like each of these chakras plays a vital role in our overall well-being, influencing everything from our physical health to our emotional state and even our spiritual connection.
They're like these interconnected energy centers that, when balanced and aligned, can really unlock our full potential.
Okay. So we've met the chakras. We've climbed that ladder of energy.
Yes.
But what I really want to know is, how do we actually put this knowledge into practice?
Now we're talking, because that's the key.
Right. Right.
What do we do with all this?
What do we actually do?
How do we make it real?
Exactly.
That's where the practical magic comes in.
All right, let's get practical.
And what I love about exploring chakras is that it's packed with techniques tailored to each chakra.
Okay.
It's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
I like that. So we've got this intricate map of energy centers, but like, how do we actually navigate it?
Right.
How do we make sure our chakras are like happy and balanced?
That's where the practical magic comes in. And what I love about exploring chakras is that it's packed with all these techniques that are tailored to each chakra. It's not just like a one-size-fits-all approach.
Because let's face it, what works to soothe, like, my anxious root chakra might be totally different from what, like, sparks my creative sacral energy.
Exactly. And the book really delves into that, talks about yoga poses, breathing techniques, even visualizations and affirmations.
Okay.
A whole toolbox for, like, fine-tuning your energy.
Okay, so let's say my root chakra feels a bit wobbly.
Okay.
Like that time I almost had a meltdown when my credit card got declined.
Oh, yeah.
What does the book recommend for, like, grounding down?
Well, remember how the root chakra is all about stability and connection to the earth?
Right.
The book highlights grounding poses like mountain pose or warrior eye.
Right.
Which really help you feel rooted and strong.
It makes so much sense. It's like physically embodying that sense of stability.
Exactly.
And what about the sacral chakra when like those creative juices just aren't flowing?
For the sacral chakra, the book suggests hip opening poses.
Okay.
Things like goddess pose or bound angle.
Right.
Postures that encourage a sense of release and flow.
I can almost feel the tension melting away just thinking about it.
Right.
It's like physically embodying that sense of letting go and allowing creativity to flow through.
Exactly. And we can't forget about the power of breath.
Oh, yeah.
The book really emphasizes how specific breathing techniques can actually influence each chakra.
Okay.
For instance, for the solar plexus.
Right.
That powerhouse of confidence.
Yeah.
It recommends the breath of fire.
Oh.
Which is super energizing.
I've heard of that one. It's supposed to really ignite your inner fire.
Yes, exactly.
But what if you're feeling disconnected from your heart?
Okay.
Like you've got those emotional walls up.
Yeah. The book suggests heart-opening poses for that.
Okay.
Things like camel pose or bridge pose.
Right.
And the idea is to physically open up that chest area and create space for vulnerability and compassion.
It's like signaling to your body and mind that it's safe to kind of open up. Now I have to ask about the visualizations and meditations. Those always intrigue me.
Oh, they're so powerful. And the book actually connects each chakra with a specific nature meditation.
Okay.
Using really vivid imagery to enhance the experience.
Give me an example. I'm a visual learner, so I love a good mental picture.
Okay, so for the root chakra, it's a forest meditation.
Okay.
You visualize roots growing down from your body into the earth.
Wow.
Really grounding you like a mighty tree.
I can already feel myself relaxing.
Right.
And for the sacral chakra,
it's a beach meditation.
Oh, okay.
Imagine waves just gently washing away any stress or stagnant energy.
Okay, that sounds incredibly soothing.
Bringing in a sense of peace and flow.
And what about the third eye chakra? That one's always felt a bit mysterious to me.
It has this mystical quality to it. The book pairs it with a waterfall meditation.
Okay.
Imagine standing under a cascade of pure cleansing water.
Wow.
Washing away any mental clutter and really awakening your intuition.
These visualizations are so powerful. It's like using the power of nature to kind of shift your energy and tap into each chakra's unique qualities.
And the book even provides some guided meditation scripts that you can use.
Awesome.
But, you know, out of all of the meditations, the one that really stood out to me was the crown chakra meditation.
The crown chakra, tell me more, that one feels especially potent given its connection to spirituality.
It's described as a mountain peak meditation.
Okay.
So you visualize yourself at the summit of this majestic mountain.
Right.
And you're feeling this sense of expansiveness and connection to something so much greater than yourself.
It's like that feeling of awe and wonder you get when you're surrounded by nature's grandeur.
And instead of a specific mantra, it encourages embracing silence, just being present in that vastness within and around you.
It's like quieting the mind to create space for something more profound to kind of emerge.
Exactly.
But, you know, as fascinating as all these techniques are, I'm curious about your take on this recent surge in interest around chakras.
Yeah.
Why do you think this ancient wisdom is resonating so deeply with people in our modern world?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think in a world that often feels chaotic and uncertain, people are yearning for something more.
Okay.
A sense of connection, purpose, and wholeness.
Right.
And maybe exploring chakras offers this framework for understanding ourselves more deeply.
Right.
And tapping into that innate wisdom that I think we all have within.
It's like rediscovering this ancient roadmap to our inner landscape.
Yes.
A guide to navigate the complexities of life with more balance and awareness.
Absolutely. And I think that's something we can all benefit from, regardless of our background or beliefs.
Okay, so we've explored some powerful techniques for working with our chakras.
We have.
But I'm curious, what if someone is completely new to all of this?
Okay.
Where do they even begin? That's such a good question because it can feel a little overwhelming at first, right?
Yeah, like where do you even begin with all this chakra talk?
Exactly.
It's true. It's like anything else diving into the world of chakras. It's a journey.
Okay.
It's not a race.
Right.
Yeah.
So true. But the good news is you don't have to become a yoga master or meditate for hours on end to start experiencing the benefits.
You don't have to go all in right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things I really appreciated about exploring chakras is that it emphasizes small steps.
Okay.
It's about finding what works for you and like incorporating it into your life in a way that feels manageable and sustainable.
That's reassuring to hear. It's not about adding another item to your to-do list, but more about bringing a little more awareness and intention into your everyday life.
Totally. And even just taking a few minutes each day to like connect with your breath.
Okay.
Do a simple grounding exercise.
Nice.
Or even just to visualize one of those beautiful nature meditations we were talking about.
Yeah.
It can make a difference.
It's like that saying, little hinges swing big doors. Small, consistent actions can create huge shifts over time.
Absolutely. And as you become more attuned to your energy, you'll naturally start to notice what throws you off balance.
Oh, okay.
Right? Maybe it's a stressful situation at work that leaves your solar plexus feeling like depleted.
Yeah.
Or a disagreement with a loved one that, you know, has your heart chakra feeling a little constricted.
Right. And that's when you can turn to those specific techniques we talked about, right?
Right.
Like a targeted approach to kind of address whatever feels out of whack.
It's like having this whole toolkit of practices at your disposal.
Yeah.
Ready to support you through life's ups and downs.
That's so empowering. It's not about being perfect. It's about having those tools to kind of navigate challenges and cultivate a greater sense of balance and well-being.
Exactly. And I think that's ultimately what drew me to this whole concept of chakras in the first place.
Okay.
It's not about achieving some like idealized state of perfection, but it's about really embracing that journey of self-discovery and growth.
That really resonates with me. It's about recognizing that we're all a work in progress and that there's always more to learn and explore.
Always more to learn.
Right.
And that those moments when we feel off, when our chakras are feeling a little wonky,
right,
those are actually opportunities for growth and transformation.
It's like those challenges help us kind of uncover those hidden strengths and wisdom that we didn't even know we had.
Totally.
They help us become more resilient, more compassionate, more whole.
Beautifully said. It's in those moments of friction that we discover our greatest potential.
This has been such an insightful conversation. I feel like I've gained a whole new understanding of this ancient practice and how it can be applied to our modern lives.
Me too. It's been a pleasure diving deep into exploring chakras with you.
It really is a fantastic resource.
It's such a rich and insightful book.
And for anyone listening who's feeling inspired to explore their own chakras,
yeah,
I encourage you to check out the book. It's filled with practical tips and techniques.
It is. And remember, the most important thing is to approach this whole journey with curiosity, compassion, and a sense of playfulness.
Yes.
Have fun with it.
It's about tuning into your own inner wisdom, experimenting with what works for you, and celebrating those small victories along the way.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
And as you embark on this journey of self-discovery, remember, you don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
There's a whole community of seekers and explorers out there ready to support you every step of the way.
So true. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep into the fascinating world within and around you.
Yes, I love that.